we as creatives have, most of us have so many things that we can do, either with the one gift and in multi different ways we can use it, or it's so many different gifts, right? So having to go, wait, let me hone in on what the need is and let me just do that. And I've watched people, I've studied people that have done that really well. And they are so successful, way past the people that are trying to do four different things at the same time, because I've got four gifts that I want to use. And I want to make sure that I'm using all my creativity. And no, sometimes it is just going, what is that one thing I need to sell? What is the one need that that person needs from me? And let me hone in on that and offer that.
The insights you just heard are from my amazing friend, Yoshika Green. She's a creative, a consultant, a coach, and she's been helping writers and entrepreneurs to hone the power of words for over 15 years. I can't wait for you to hear this episode, because if you're creative, you need to know how to communicate and say what you need to say. But sometimes you and I get in our own way when it comes to our words. And she's going to help us to break through that barrier, to understand both the spiritual and the practical applications of saying what you need to say, of using your words effectively. And if you've got a book or anything else that involves writing, she's going to help you to bring that forth with clarity and with vision. I cannot wait for you to hear this episode. It's going to be a blessing to you. Here we go.
Artists, musicians, and creatives of all kinds, looking for help balancing your passion to create with your everyday life? Not sure if your faith can coexist with your profession? Welcome to a place where real artists discuss real life. You're listening to The God and Gig Show. Visit godandgigs.com for show notes, links, and more information.
Hello and welcome to our show. Thank you so much for making this podcast a part of your creative day. It's an honor to come into your ears, into your home, into your car, and just share some creative tips and strategies that are going to help you build your best creative life from the inside out by applying timeless spiritual principles to the temporary creative problems that you might be facing. I am your host, Alan C. Paul. I'm a musician, creative coach, and author of the book, God and Gigs, Succeed as a Musician Without Sacrificing Your Faith, as well as our devotional, Your Art, God's Heart, and other resources that you can find at godandgigs.com/books. And the reason why I would love to emphasize the author part of my name is because the person we're talking to today is one of the people that helped me to put that author tag behind my name. Yoshika Green is one of my best friends, but more importantly for you, she's a creative and a consultant who has a gifting to connecting words with the people who need to use them, helping you find the right words and the right way to express your message no matter what field you're in. She's worked with corporations like Citibank. She's worked with educational institutions, publishing houses, entrepreneurs, anyone who needs to use the power of words and ideas, and she's able to connect them in a way that few other people ever will. She's gifted in that. It's her God gift to be able to take words and ideas and concepts and form them in a way that will increase both your bottom line in your business and increase your impact in terms of your God-given goals. So I am so glad to talk to Yoshika. I really wanted this to be one of the first episodes of 2021, because I believe that if you know your purpose and how to express your words, how to express your message, and it really becomes connected with what you truly believe is your calling, you're going to have so much more impact in the years and days to come. So I wanted to make sure that you heard Yoshika right away. So once again, you're going to hear in this episode how to connect your words, how to simplify the task, even when it comes down to things like social media posts, which we all have to write. No matter what field you're in, you're somehow having to become a writer when it comes to sharing blog posts or social media posts or even ad copy or writing down on flyers. You have to use words to communicate. So she's going to tell you how writing starts with your style of conversation, how you can simplify that, and so you don't just stare at a blank page. She's going to tell you how to remain authentic even as you grow your brand. She's going to share key social media writing tips, how to determine the best length of your posts, and about your career path. She's going to help you with so many mind shift perspectives that you need to take and make when it comes to how God is using you in your creative career, whether it's to make a big pivot or to decide to stay local or to go big or to grow your entrepreneurial dream. She has all of the tools and all of the really, really honest answers that you need to hear to make your next step as a creative professional. I cannot wait for you to hear this. So go ahead, grab some notepads or grab your note-taking device because you're going to need to write a lot of this down and rewind and follow through with these tips that Yoshika is about to share with you. Ladies and gentlemen, my wonderful, incredibly brilliant friend, Yoshika Green. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could talk to this person as if she is simply the guru that she is, but I have to talk to her as one of my best friends. So what you're going to be listening to is going to be part informative, part inspirational, and part fly on the wall as two people who love each other, who love each other's family, and have been family for so long. So I'm going to try to keep it professional, Yoshika, but I don't know. And of course, as soon as I say professional, somebody rings the doorbell. That shows you what kind of thing we're in. So, Yoshika Green, welcome to the God and Gig Show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
This is really it's a dream come true for me. We are, like I said, I consider you family. I consider you my sister, but I have to keep it professional as much as possible. But your family literally has been one of the inspirations of my family. We have been through everything together. Yes. So I'm going to pull it back first and let people see who you are professionally, how they can benefit from your services, how they can learn from you. And then, of course, I think in the course of this conversation, we will open up the doors to why we share the heart that we share, you know, the people in your life, the people in my life, the family that we share. That all is going to come out. I know it's going to come out. We can't fight it. But in the meantime, I want them to know why you're so awesome in terms of your professional life and what you can offer in terms of your writing, your love of words, and how you help businesses, entrepreneurs, all that stuff. So can you just tell them a little bit about who you are?
Sure. So I am 42, born and raised in South Florida, went to college to be a teacher, never thought I'd end up here, but I'm so happy I did. And I'm glad God had a different plan. But I started in education, then went into some educational business. That opened up a lot of doors and insight for me to see, oh, there's so many other things I can do with my skill set. So I went into nonprofit work. That's where you and I met. And then helped with funding on that end and programming and writing program and realized I think I can really do this even for myself. So that's where I ventured out into writing for myself and for others. And then I've always been entrepreneurial. So since my childhood. And so having two businesses right now that are thriving is just a gift from God, his wink to say, here it is. I've blessed what you're putting your hands to. And so, yeah, I'm just figuring it out with the rest of us out here in this time and season in our country, in our world. But it's still great to say that the businesses are blessed.
It's so true. The businesses are blessed and we are blessed because, as you just said, I mean, I could take you through really from the get-go. I'm talking about all the different avenues that you took to get to where you are now. You're now based in Texas. And, my mind goes back to, oh, why is she so far away? But anyway, yeah, she deserted us in Florida. Just kidding.
I did. And I'm so feeling like, why can't I get on a plane right now and just go be there and do all the things I want to do with you guys and my family and eat all the things we enjoy and listen to your music. It's just so sad that I can't get on a plane right now and be there.
We're going to keep working on that whole thing. But tell the people who are listening again, these are, as we just mentioned before we got on the air, that our audiences are usually entrepreneurs, creatives, people who have, and I read your website, you know, I love everything that you do. And I was stalking you, even though I know you so well, I had to stalk you even more. And just reading some of those lines from your website about how you help people to do things that are in their heart, things that they wish they had done, and you'll help them get there. And just kind of like, I almost see you like kind of like a dream pusher. Like you take people's dreams and ideas and they're kind of all over the place. Most of us creators are all over the place. So let me talk about your path a little bit. You do so many things well in terms of writing, in terms of teaching, in terms of educational. Was it hard for you to start to pull it together and congeal things into this is what I do? I'm going to do this for my business. My creative thing will be this when you have so many abilities and talents. Is that ever hard for you?
Yes. It's hard because I'm trying to hone in on what am I going to use at the forefront right now. And then it was also hard because I am an Enneagram 2. So I am a helper at heart. So I have always been in a seat more often than not, where even though I'm in a lead role, I'm supporting someone else's dream or someone else's vision or someone else's goals. So it took time to arrive here and go, you're going to do this and you're going to do it for yourself. And you're also going to hone in on these skills, because I never considered myself a writer. And although I supported and helped and, you know, was there to do whatever I can to make sure if someone else's writing was good, I just never thought I'd be writing for myself right now as one of my businesses.
Wow. So let me ask you this, and that kind of, again, I can't wait to hear these stories. Just tell me, where did your love for words, where did your love for writing come from? Like what kind of pushed you down the path to begin with?
Yeah, I always think about this and go, when did I even realize I could even write something? Or because I struggled as a kid in school, was not a good reader. I struggled in all areas of learning. So I didn't feel like, oh, I've had this innate writing gift always. That's not my story. So it definitely wasn't the case. So I realized in high school, that's the first time I can go back to like something actually being said about my writing. And the assignment was to write about, to personify some sort of feeling or some sort of non-living, emotion. And so I was assigned to write about gossip, to personify gossip as if it was a person and write it. And it made it into the yearbook. And the teacher said, this is really good. And it was this English teacher who I looked up to and thought, wow, she knows what she's talking about, right? Yeah. And she said, yeah, this is good. It's going in the yearbook. Like, you can write. And I was like, oh, okay. Then college, again, a professor said, this is actually really, really good. And I started to realize, oh, I think I have a knack for words. I shouldn't have been shocked. It's my sisters do as well. My dad, it was a writer in his own right, meaning that he didn't write the way I write, but he definitely was good with words and he would write lyrics to songs and things like that. So I should have been able to trace that this was a gift on the family as well, but I wasn't putting it all together at all.
Got it. So then during college, and then obviously, I guess, more professionally in terms of educational, again, we share that in terms of the educational field, always have to use words, use communication. Let's just put in communication. How's that? Maybe that's a more broad way, especially for those of us who are talking to, learning how to communicate and express ideas. And in the marketing and the music and the arts and the creative space that we're talking to, it is super important to be able to express yourself. So now that you're in the side where you've been helping people, like you said, both in your own writing and then helping other people to craft their words, I'm really like looking at that person who's number one, let's just say maybe they're the person like who's in school, who hates to write, who might be just looking at a blank sheet of paper and has no idea, how do I even express myself? Like, what's your process? What's your, obviously you might have a million things you do that's, very in depth, but just, what are some starters for you, that gets you into the place of, here's how I express myself through words, even if it's just a marketing or a caption or something like that?
Mm-hmm. My rule of thumb is to write as though I'm speaking. So I like to talk. Most people do. So even if they don't like to talk in front of people, they like to have conversation for the most part. Even the ambiverts like I am, or the introverts, there's still some sort of either internal dialogue or someone you like to speak to. So that's what I tell people to do. Get to that, channel that, and say, oh, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say the words as if I'm talking to that person or I'm talking to myself. Hmm. It's more conversational. It's definitely more creative. And then one of the most creative things I do that help me is that I think, how can I say this differently so that it's not going to sound like anything people have already heard? It could literally be the same thing. That's what we're seeing on social media right now, is that people are really saying a lot of the same thing, but how am I going to be able to say that thing differently so that it sits differently and hits a whole nother place in people when they read it? So that's kind of my process, as I think about that. I will put little words. I collect words. I love words, some of them because of the way they sound, some of them because of how, what they mean. So I will keep a notes, you know, document in my phone where I just add words to it. Mm-hmm. If I get a little bit of something that I feel like, oh, that's good, or oh, that could be something I, you know, extend on social media or in a blog or whatever, that I'm going to write that in my notes because it will literally be gone. I did not write through grief, and I can't try to write that now. And I regret that. When you're feeling something in that moment, you have to write it down because that's just part of the way words flow. They're so fluid. And if you do not catch it when in flow, then it's most likely not going to be there if you try to go grab them later.
That's interesting you say that, because there is such a discipline, and I love putting all these different areas of creative work, because obviously we're talking to maybe musicians or poets or, you know, playwrights. You know, there's people all over the world. When, you know, I remember when you first sat down with me and you talked about God and gigs, and that's the first time I said, oh my gosh, gigs is anything, like anything where people work and work in this kind of freelance area. Yeah. Like that could be something where they are having to deal with this situation, which is, again, I kind of imagining looking at the blank page and being stuck. So I know, you know, I won't put anybody in my family out there, but I know certain people who are very close to both of us who don't like to sit and journal. Like they're not journal people. They are not, you know, like you just talked about. So is there a discipline that's required to making yourself put the words down, even when it doesn't feel comfortable? Like you said, writing through moments or feelings or emotions. I've had to learn how to journal, by the way, put myself on the spot. That wasn't easy for me, but I've learned the power of it. But is that a discipline that you have to do even when you don't feel like it?
Yes, it is. I'm not going to say that I've mastered this. I struggle with this too, especially right now that we're all dealing with quarantine and life, that it just feels altogether different. So be gracious with the season we're in, but know that there is this thing that you have to consider and really make a effort to overcome, because it's just, we don't want to do the things that don't feel comfortable, right? And so I have found that when I can tell someone, okay, this is the goal for me, and I need to get to this goal being done by this date, then they're going to hold me accountable, and I'm going to hold myself accountable to that. So I have an accountability club partner. We call it the Accountability Club. She's such a creative, amazing person who also needs someone to just bridle her when she needs to get things done. So we meet on a Zoom call or FaceTime once every 2 weeks, and we say, okay, where are you right now with the goal we talked about? And it could be little. Sometimes it's her writing her social media posts. And for me, it's me finishing the content for an online course, or it's me writing the proposal for a submission because I want to have an agent, a literary agent. So it's just, did you do it? Did you work on it? Where are you with this? And because I met her through creative work in kid literature, she is great to say, you need to look at this and consider that, or you need to tweak this or tweak that. And so I do think it's important to realize that having an accountability partner, but also someone that is close enough to what you're working on that they can give you advice and consult for free. And you can do that for each other. So if she's needing help with social media posts, I'm there to do that with her, for her. And then if I'm working with these ideas and concepts, literally she can say, this is not where you probably should focus right now. The industry looks like this. It's feeling like this. You should do this. So I think that's helpful to help me get to hone in on what I need to work on. But I'm not a person who's just going to journal. But I definitely will keep words. So it is a form of journaling, if you were to say that. Yeah.
I love it. I love the accountability part of this. And I actually have been seeing this in a couple of social media apps, where they, you know, they're obviously building out their community, and they're obviously trying to get people to kind of co-work and, you know, create these groups. And I'll see them say, oh, we're going to do a caption party or a work party, and everybody at the same hour is going to jump on, and we're all going to write, and we're all going to do our things. It sounds so much like that. And I love the fact that you have somebody in your world that you invite in to say, hey, keep me accountable. Make sure that, and again, it's not even that you're working on the exact same project, right? I heard that you're working on different projects, but you're both holding each other accountable.
Yes, we are. And It can work. It can work in a world that seems really weird right now. We do not have the same political views. We don't talk about politics on our calls, but we love each other and we are going to say we're here during the craziness of all the changes. And we're going to make sure that we are going to be truthful to where we are going in the future and also cheer each other on because we know we're capable of doing where we know we're capable of going beyond where we're stuck. And yeah. So having that push is so helpful right now. So that is for sure something I recommend. And I am so into these co-working parties. I'm planning to do one on Zoom soon.
Awesome. Okay. So I want to ask you again, kind of coming back to that person that's listening now for the first time, I'm always thinking about, okay, maybe they are stuck in terms of, let's just go to the marketing side. I want to geek out about marketing for a second and musicians and artists who are, if you want, let me just tell you right now, you should follow Yoshika on Instagram, but don't go with comparison shopping because you're going to feel sorry. You're going to feel bad. Okay.
You
kill it on Instagram.
Oh, you're kill so it. Fine.
Like
I used to.
But I want to talk about this because there is so much comparison and, my page doesn't look like hers. And like you said, there's a lot of people saying the same thing different ways, right? But there's all these hacks and algorithms and things like that. And so it can seem very phony and very, for an artist that wants to be authentic, some people just don't want to play the game at all. They don't want to be there. They don't want to be in social media. But I've seen so much authenticity coming from you, even in terms of your personal journey, even in terms of talking about things aren't comfortable, but you're opening up and letting people into your world through social media. So can you talk a little bit about that process, about how you started to see your personal journey and see what you share, again, your expression and your writing come out even in something as simple as a social media caption?
Right. So I was horrible at social media and I still feel like it's not where it needs to be, but I'm so grateful that I feel like it's improved. What I did first was I went and I took a course. I found someone who had grown their business and they're creative and they grew their entire platform as a million-dollar producer, multi-million-dollar producer, all on social media. So I was like, I'm going to take notes and I'm going to take that class. So I took that online course and it helped me really start to clean up my social media account. There is, like you said, this feeling of like, am I playing a game? And I'm like, I'm not going to show up like that. I'm not going to go and start pointing at words and doing reels that are not, they're not going to be my personality. And so I realized that there's a con to that decision because reels are what are, you know, there's different features on Facebook and Instagram, and reels on Instagram right now are what are bringing you more followers. But like I just told my sister last night, it's been 6 days since I posted. I want you to hear that internal thought because people may look at my feed and go, wow, it looks nice. And I'm thinking, listen, no one has arrived on social media. It changes all the time. Yeah. Everything changes all the time. No one's arriving. So just be you. I have tried to go on and post in the last couple of days. Half of the time it's because I haven't had moments to curate the words. And then other times I'm just like, I don't feel like that's relevant right now. I don't feel like me talking about, you know, my weight loss today on a day where the world feels like there's other major issues in the news. I just don't know if it's the right fit for my post today. So it could be some overthinking. It is definitely the way I process. But I definitely go through, what am I going to say? And I had to decide I was going to talk about these things and let my profile as a writer be a little bit of a portfolio. Someone were to go look at me right now, they would go, okay, let me see creatively who she is. Oh, she can write. I think that she's legit a writer. I think I could work with her. This comes through on her social media post. I think she has a really kind heart. I think that she's authentic and she is letting us see who she is behind the curtain. So that's someone I want to connect to. And I feel like she could be my friend. I feel like I would want to do business with her because she's already a business owner. I feel like she's an expert in some things. So this is someone I'm going to say yes to follow. I'm trying to show up as my best parts and say my posts are going to basically be about my journey through my weight and health, because I'm in health and wellness too, is my business. And then I'm also going to talk about my writing and how I discovered that I should probably get paid for this. And then I will talk about how I help people in their businesses and how I am a good friend and I am a good daughter and family member and how I'm imperfect and I need God a lot. So those are basically the things I decided I was going to say. There's a lot of other parts about me that I don't talk about a lot. So I'm not going to talk about singlehood a lot. I've made decisions on focusing on these things more than anything else. It doesn't mean that they can't make an appearance in my post once in a while, but it's not going to be my main focus.
I love the fact that you just made that so clear that you made deliberate decisions.
Yeah.
About what's off limits, what you're going to share, what you're not going to share, what you are going to share. And that's authenticity too, right? Drawing those boundaries. And I think, again, as artists and creatives, it's tough. We're emotionally, sometimes I don't want to use the word fragile, but we're sensitive, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to let this whole social media world. And then of course, because like I said, in the performing arts, or even anytime we're presenting or sharing or putting ourselves out there, there's this vulnerability. Yes. And so there's this back and forth between too vulnerable, not vulnerable enough, hiding behind a curtain versus showing everybody everything and kind of like being just a puddle all the time of just, dumping stuff on people.
Yeah.
And so I think it is, we're kind of in the weeds here, but it's actually cool because I think people who are listening need to hear this mindset part first before they hear, oh, what do I write? How do I put a book out? Or how do I make a post? Or how do I, make these words connect with my audience? First, you need to know who you are. Like, that's what I'm hearing you saying. Like, it's really important that you do that self-analysis. Is that a good way to put it?
That is a great way to put it. I'm glad that that was what came through and you were able to grab hold of that from what I said, because that is what I learned. One of the major things I learned when I took that course, when I started observing someone who was doing it right, is that she said, people do not buy stuff. They're buying you. So if you are out here and you are wanting to sell whatever creative gifts you have, because that's what we're here to do. We're given our lot. We're supposed to go market that and use those talents to profit us and to profit other people. So if we're going to do that on a larger scale, then we have to get people to go, I want to buy her. And if I can buy her or him, then anything they sell, I want. And I realized I had done that with this person teaching. And I said, I'd buy anything she puts out. I'm the first one in line every single time because I know she's authentic. She's done it right. She's so creative. She's someone I want to go, I've got that in me. I need to draw that out of myself. Let me get whatever she's selling. I'm buying. So that has happened. People will go, I want essential oils and I also want writing from you. And it's really them saying, you're the common denominator, Yoshika, that whatever it is that you're saying is good, is good.
We'll get back to Yoshika's incredible insights in just one moment. But before we do, I want to share with you a resource that will help you if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling uninspired, if you don't feel like you can even get yourself to tap the record button or to put your pen to paper or to start typing out that thing that you know you should be working on. I have a free resource just for you called Break Through the Block, 5 Ways to Renew Your Inspiration. It's a mini book. It barely will take you 5 to 10 minutes to read, but it will unlock that inspiration that you've been so desperately seeking and feeling like you're missing. All you have to do to get this free resource is to go to godandgigs.com/breakthrough. Spell out breakthrough with the O-U-G-H, okay? godandgigs.com/breakthrough, or just tap the link in this episode's show notes, and you can get that free resource and get back to writing, get back to creating, get back to that inspired person that you know you are, simply by taking a few tips and applying them to your life. You can be back to your old self, creating and making new things and becoming excited about what's coming up in your creative journey. Okay. Check that out right away. godandgigs.com/breakthrough. Now let's get back to our wonderful talk with my good friend, Yoshika. I love the fact, again, I think it's such an interesting back and forth between, because you're being honest and truthful about who you are, there's all this stuff about being a personal brand this, and build a brand and everything. And all you're really saying is, here I am. If you are one of my people, and I'm, you know, tribe, I've heard, one of my favorite, you know, terms nowadays is tribes, right? Yep. If you're part of my tribe, yep. You're going to, Seth Godin says it like this, people like us do things like this. That's the definition of a culture.
So good.
That's it. People like us do things like this. People like us write this or say this or buy this or wear this. Mm-hmm. And so there's so much emphasis, I think, on again, I'm thinking of, usually I go back to the musicians in my circle, right? Because we're always putting ourselves out there in terms of artists and have to like the look and the feel and the, are they going to like me? Are they going to like my post? Are they going to buy my music? Are they going to buy my book and all this stuff? And it's such a back and forth between being honest about who you are, but then you attract other people. And the Bible talks about that. I mean, you know, that we, you know, our like spirits agree that, you know, deep calls out to deep.
Yes.
We really do recognize each other when we say and do what we are really all about versus trying to aim at a target, an artificial target in marketing and try to, just be focus group oriented.
Exactly.
So it's so amazing that, again, I knew we were going on the same wavelength. All right. So
yeah.
Let's talk now, about this a little. Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to tell you this one thing, because if I were to evaluate my social media, I would say that the one part that I want to emphasize I'm not doing well, and my sister reminds me of it all the time, is that my posts are long. And she's like, they're really blog posts. And that was something for a while on Instagram that you could write and they could be longer. And I probably won't ever go too far from home because I always have a lot of words. But I definitely think I'm going to start saying, read the rest of my blog or read the rest in the comments or just cut it down. So you don't have to feel like you have to have a lot of words. Like if you go and you look at my social media, you'll go, I'll never be able to get a post up because, I mean, this is a novel. And so I think that you should do the opposite. Number one, people don't have time to read long posts. I think my people stick around because they are, again, part of my tribe at this point. So they have a desire to read all my words, but it's not for growing. It's not a strategy for growing. You want to keep it short and sweet as much as you can. So don't feel like you have to have a lot of words just to put something on social media.
That's a good point. I think when the keys, again, this is not a social media talk, but just one of the things I heard again, one of these people talk about in terms of engagement and, you know, it is about really getting people that want to respond to us and start conversations versus, and I am talking now to some of the people who I kind of get annoyed with on social media, who just say, buy this, buy this, buy this, buy this, buy this, buy this. And it's like, why? I'm not having a conversation with you, you know, especially coming across as almost, I hate to say it, needy, as yeah. I need you to buy this for me, or I need you to read this versus here it is. And like you said, if you want more, then come a little deeper, you know, go down a rabbit hole with me. But I'm not begging and I'm not like, you know, being insistent in terms of, again, because I think people can sense that even in social media, even in our impression, the way that first impression, people can immediately see, are you out there to get something or out there to give something? Like that generosity aspect is immediately apparent, don't you think?
It's so true. It is so true. Yeah. People can feel it. And that's why how we show it matters. Even if it's not in person, people can sense what we're doing and they can read us before we arrive just because nonverbal speaks so much louder. Mm. And so even if we come into the room and we try to act like we're not there to sell something, people are going to be able to look through that. If after one post that's not selling something, you've got 10 that are selling something. you can't try to bait and switch on people. We're too smart.
Yeah. That was funny how the more people are doing this, the more savvy, the more we're attuned to that language. And yeah, people are just begging for authenticity basically nowadays. They just want you to be real and then you can make a decision, yes or no, buy or not buy, but thank you for being real. Thank you for being honest with me. So I want to jump into this though, because I want to talk about, again, with your professional expertise, you are so knowledgeable and so smart with everything that you, when you step into a room or step into a client or coaching situation, I want to kind of put you in that seat for a second. So maybe I should be the person that I get some free coaching now. let's talk about the people who are, again, kind of like on that entrepreneurial fence. We're in the pandemic. Let's just make it a hypothetical. They have been thinking about writing a book. They've been thinking about oh, I should, maybe I should, you know, put my website together. I need to have the perfect line, the perfect byline, the perfect, you know, thing. But how do you approach someone who's still like on the fence of like, I don't really know what to say? I mean, that's the kind of like the thing I feel like I needed you for when I was first trying to figure out this, what is God and Gigs all about? So can you take them kind of like through that same process I went through, like figuring out who you are, what you want to say, and like just what do you do in that client in that first couple of days where they're trying to figure out like how to start that new project or that new thing?
So good. So good. Okay. Well, let's just talk about that for a second, because you and I met in a coffee shop, right?
Yeah.
And it was to unearth the depth of God and Gigs. So here's the deal. We all have a God and Gigs type idea that comes to us, and it seems like there's, you know, it has multifacets, but you're like, how do I get it there? So having that conversation, informal.
Yeah.
Informal, just a coffee shop conversation, right? And it's literally saying, how is this going to really be something that has, you know, some depth outside of where you just see it going? And having that dialogue and saying, okay, so this is the concept, then, and you're going from A to B, then it's really bigger in this way, right? So I think sitting down, having a conversation with someone you trust, or hiring that person that can coach you through it, I am gifted at this. I feel like it's one of my God gifts, right? And it is me being able to take what it is that you say and see something bigger in it and then serve that back to you. And you go, oh yeah, that was in it all along. And then that's where the word development comes from.
Okay.
So over time, there was a pattern that I was able to find that was, oh, people can give you your resume, give you their resume, and you can give it back to them. And they go, I don't even know who this person is. And it's them. And so I started to realize I need to hone in on this gift. I need to be coaching people through a process to get from here it is. It's bigger than this, but it feels small. Help me make it bigger. So whoever you're going to work with, that's your friend, your cousin, your mom's really good at the same skill set, great. If you want to hire me, great. But at the end of the day, you have to have that dialogue where you take the idea and you make it bigger and you go, now I have something that's meatier to write from. Now I have something that's going to either be one book or the chapters of all the different points I want to make in the book, or this is a 3-book series. You know, you're able to then figure out where you're going to go with what you want to write about, because you really can't write until you have come to that place of knowing where you're going with concept and idea. So for me right now, I'm in this kind of process for myself going, okay, you have a kid's book you want to write. You have this book you want to write. What are you going to write first? And then is this even something that has enough depth that it would actually be a book? So getting to that place of going, is this just an idea that's going to be a really great blog or a newsletter or an article that you will pitch to a magazine? Or is this going to be a book? And this is going to have all of this different content in it that's enough, it's meaty enough, it's hearty enough to actually fill the pages of a book. And then are you going to publish with a publishing house? Are you going to self-publish? All those things go into it. But there's so many different ways that you can get to the whole writing process, but all of the different avenues you can take, they all start with that first getting into a conversation with someone that is going to be able to help flesh out the idea to see where you even need to start if you are going to write and create something that you're going to put into print or e-publish.
So good. It's so important to get out of your own head, right? I wish I could think of the quotes. There's like 3 or 4 great quotes that I can't remember right now, but all of them basically involve getting that idea out of your head onto paper or into somebody's ear, like getting it out of your head and hearing it reflected like you do back to you. And then saying, wait, you said this, but what you're really saying is this. And I think it's so important, again, for creatives, because we had so many ideas. And I'm talking to, it was Marie Forleo or someone like that, who I think he was using the hashtag multi-passionate. And I was like going to grab onto that, because that's really where a lot of us creatives are. Like, we have all these great ideas, and you get paralyzed. You get analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
And we get stuck on, okay, well, it's the pandemic and I have all these things and I need to earn money or I need to get my music out. And there's so many things that are happening, and we can get stuck in the middle of it. And what I think the key is, and I was going to ask you about this, is it important that you point out or figure out where the other person, the person you're serving, what they need. Because what I think it is, in terms of me especially, I have so many things I want to do. But then there's only one thing that one person needs me to do. Yeah. I want to do all these things, but like where God has positioned me is there's a specific need that someone else has. And if I'm so busy spinning myself, oh, I need to do this. And I like this Canva and I like this graphic and I like this thing and I want to write this, but I missed all of that. And someone's just waving like, hey, I just needed you to teach me X. Can you do that, please? And so do you think that can happen to where we need to like focus on with the need of the other person or the audience that we're serving?
Yes, because we as creatives have, most of us have so many things that we can do, either with the one gift and in multi different ways we can use it, or it's so many different gifts, right? So having to go, wait, let me hone in on what the need is and let me just do that. And I've watched people, I've studied people that have done that really well, and they are so successful, way past the people that are trying to do four different things at the same time, because I've got four gifts that I want to use. And I want to make sure that I'm using all my creativity. And no, sometimes it is just going, what is that one thing I need to sell? What is the one need that that person needs from me? And let me hone in on that and offer that. And so that's what we're in. The world is forcing us to do that in this pandemic. Yeah. It's with helping us to pivot. But people said, you know, hey, when did you become a resume writer? And I'm like, well, I didn't know I was going to be writing a lot of resumes, but we're in a pandemic. People are losing jobs and I'm going to pivot. And so knowing to, I can offer that one thing right now that is a main focus for people that I had not planned to do is what I need to say is necessary above all else. No matter what other things I want to be writing and doing, let me make sure that this one thing is available to people and I'm giving them what they're asking for.
That's beautiful. So I want to ask you this. What do you wish you had known before you got it? What are the big mistakes or the things that's like, whoa, like if I had just seen this coming, I would be the farther ahead, or I would have avoided this pain point. Because again, I'm trying to help those people who are starting out, who are thinking or pivoting, you know, they're making this big shift or something like that. And yeah. I'm trying to think, okay, what would you tell them if you wish you had known, or you wish you had done more of at the outset versus where you are now?
It took me a long time to get here. People look at me and go, well, why did you move? I mean, all your friends and family are in South Florida. Why'd you move? I was fighting for my life. If anyone was really paying attention, they would have seen a very, very unhealthy person in every aspect of their life, of my life, if they were watching closely. I hid that very well, but I had to break out of my current life. So if I could go back and do anything differently, I would have broken out sooner. I needed to restart a life. So I want to encourage every creative out there, because we're going to be, I feel like, better at this than those that aren't creatives, is because we know how to change and we're more fluid in our, and who we are is just our, in our being. So don't fight the feeling of going, I'm going to redo this whole thing. New paint on the same canvas, starting all over.
Wow.
I have a painting from my friend, Amy Dockery, who she paints amazingly. And when you look at this canvas, you can see how thick the paint is on it. You can see that she had started over and over and that she kept adding to it. And it just, I love that. I love the texture of the canvas, because it, in her finished final product that's hanging in my home, I can see that this was done over and over, and that it was refinished, and it was things were added to it. Right. And so I want to live that life where I go, and she does live like that, by the way. And I want my life to look like that, where people can go, she's in Texas now, but she will tell you she may not be in Texas always. So I don't know. But what I do know, I don't know where I'll end up. What I do know is that I am saying yes to being fluid enough to go, where am I going to end up in this process, so that I continue to say yes to me, so that I don't waste so many years saying yes to everyone else. And then I don't get to focus on the gifts that are in me to be used for a greater purpose. And busting out of my life was the best thing I could have done. It was hard leaving South Florida and the people I love, but it was necessary for me to live the life I'm describing to you, that I'm still chasing to pursue. And I will always, until the day I take my last breath. And then the other thing I would say I would do, if I should have done more of, or if I could go back, I would do differently, would definitely be that I would encourage people to feel, to not feel that they have to jump all in and do something and pursue the gig as their full-time thing if they're not ready to do that.
Okay.
So that's the hard part, right? When do you do something full-time and when do you continue to not do that until you're ready to do that? So if I were to do something differently, I would probably say, I had no idea this year would happen. And I've been blessed. I have no need for anything. But if I could do things a little bit differently, I would say prepare yourself before you jump into anything full time, that you know exactly that your financials will be okay. So it's okay to keep a job and to have your side hustle or your gig as the second thing that works in tandem with to make the whole thing right work until it's time for it to be your full time. So those are the two things I would say.
Oh gosh. Okay. I have to go back to the first one though, because your picture, obviously I know about Pastor Amy and just her incredible, but the layering, I wanted to almost want to shout on that. That is a,
I saw your face.
I was like, you know, I wanted to hit the organ. I wanted to get to the organ like and start the worship chorus, because the layers that God allows us to be overpainted, to overlay, to see the layers and say, I mean, that was a spiritual picture right there. I'll try not to go deep today, but
did feel it too.
I think it's important for, again, this is God and gigs. This is important that creatives and musicians and artists and freelancers all hear this, that it's okay to start over on the same canvas. And what I think is the key, the reason why that would make me almost shout is because you didn't say erase. Mm-hmm. You didn't start over and start entirely new on a whole nother canvas.
No.
You painted over what was there, which means the texture and the layers are an important part of the picture. It actually helps the picture become more depth and more nuanced. Yes. Versus just, oh, I just need to rip this whole thing off and just start over with a brand new. That no. Picture right there, look, you preach right there. I don't know if you right. Realize it, but... Somebody got delivered right there.
True. Somebody, because I didn't even, until you started talking about, because it's true. It is not one dimensional. It is not flat. It is not like she just, and it shows like, look at the life to this, that there was something imperfect that she's like, well, we'll just add to that. And I just feel like that's our lives.
Yeah.
That's our lives. And I never regret it. I had to deal with a lot of interpersonal and internal, you know, issues of like, what did you just do to your life? Right. But, it was necessary and I will never regret it. I thank God for the opportunity to go through the things I was able to see and grow through, because for us to be able to get to where we want to get as creatives, as people that want to pursue God and business and our creative gifts, we have to go, I'm going to keep adding the paint. I'm going to keep working in new colors, adding to this part. It's okay that I jumped out too soon. Let's fix it this way. Let's, you know, that's the beauty of it is yeah. That it is not this flat. It was straight and narrow. I got there this way. No.
It's not two dimensional. It's 3D, right? That's the first thing I thought is because again, the Instagram, all this stuff we do see, suppose just this flat picture, oh, everything's perfect and it's all just got there. And like, no, we all know the story behind the story, or we know there is a story behind the story, but we usually don't know what that story is, right?
Right.
And so the fact is, it's so important, I think, that, I mean, again, every time I start one of these conversations, you know, I was like, okay, we're going to have to hold it back because we would go there and people are listening over there all over the world, maybe, and they're like, well, what are they talking about? But actually, I think we're talking directly to the people, again, our tribe. And it was really hard for me, and I'm going to talk shop for a second, because I think maybe this will help somebody as well. It was very hard for me, even again, for God and gigs, to figure out, what am I trying to do here? What is this about? Is it just for church musicians, which it started at? The book is still, and there's some things I struggle with this as well. Those of you who are listening, if you go get God and gigs, the book, it says succeed as a musician without sacrificing your faith. It started as a church musician book for those of us who gig and play secular and sacred music. Simple, very you cut and dry. That's who it's for. Now we're talking, you and I, again, all these years later, after you sat down in a coffee shop and in your living room about, okay, yeah. What is this for real? And you are one of the people that said, this is way bigger than just musicians. Am I still called, I believe, to the local church and to musicians? Yes. But I'm also called to see who else is out there who's like, you know what? That's me too. And I think one of the things that's really a blessing is that once you focus on that one thing, like you said, whatever God's kind of painting into your life, He knows like there's going to be an audience or people that you're called to that you may not even recognize yet. Like I didn't recognize who I might be serving long, you know, back when I first started the book. But I think what you're describing, even in your journey too, you didn't know who you were going to be serving, but God was kind of preparing you for reaching those people. And now you have a business that can reach so many different, I mean, oils and writing and, you know, business development. Like you've been prepared for this.
It's true. It is so true. And it's great to see when you step back from the painting, you look at it and go, oh, wow. Yeah, that actually was woven into the whole thing from the beginning. And that's how I ended up here. People think it's a funny, they're either shocked or they think it's funny that I didn't realize that I was even a writer. Because when you start looking back at the base of this canvas, you start going, but it was there all along. And you just weren't realizing it, from helping people with their resumes just because they're your friends, or getting your high school teacher to say something. There's evidence of this creative flow that we all have, that if we pay close attention to, it's there. And we just have to find the grandness of it and put that out there and say, I'm not going to let go of this. I'm going to go all the way to make sure that I do right by what's been given to me, because it's big.
I want to attribute the tweet to the right person. So if I'm stealing a tweet right now out there, I'm sorry. I'm going to retweet you and I'll make sure I attribute it right. But I have to take it now because it literally goes with what you just said. He said basically something to the effect of stop pushing down what God gave you and calling it humility.
That's good.
And it's like that hit me right across the face, my sister. Like, that's what we're talking about, people. We're all trying to like put this God, this thing that God gave us in this little box and saying, oh, well, I don't want to show it. I want to do it perfect. I want to do it right. I don't want to, I'm not sure. And then you're like, God's like, no, that's not for you anyway.
That's
stop
it. That's not it. And people over time, it was hard to, you know, to get to, but over time I've realized, okay, Yoshika, the confidence is in knowing that God is going to, he's given you something and in your process, he is going to make way for it to come to the forefront.
Yeah.
So in your process of working for this one or that one, or not working for this one or not working for that one, if it's no longer a fit for the right gifts that are at that time to come out, those creative opportunities to continue to grow, he will pluck me out. He will pluck any of us out or give us a new way, entryway for us to be able to do what he wants to do in us creatively. So my sister always says it like we know from the word of God, like he'll use a donkey, right? So it does not matter. Nothing's going to get in the way. Don't let yourself get in the way of his flow, because he's not gonna let anything else get in the way. You're really the only things, because of, you know, our own desire, right? That we have our own will. You're really the only way that you can, you're the only person that could stand in the way, really, of you and your pursuit for what God has put in you that we all need to creatively express.
Yep. We're the only one that can stop God's plan for our life. And it's so funny to say that. It's like a whole theological, you know, like conundrum. Like, how could I stop God's will? But basically, he's like, well, it's up to you. It's up to us. You know, do you want to be, we can preach on that. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to see? Like, every single time God did a miracle, Jesus did a miracle, he's always like, do you want this?
Right.
And it was really on the person to decide. And it's us as us, you know, being gifted and given the spirit of God, I believe, as business people, as entrepreneurs, creativepreneurs in the marketplace, he's basically saying the same thing. Like, okay, what do you want? If you want the skill and the ability, go get it. There's nothing stopping you. Ask for wisdom and I'll give it to you, you know, pressed down, shaken together. So so much of this. Okay, I can see we're going to go like so deep now. We're doing a podcast. We're not just talking. So everybody that's listening, you've heard the amazing depth and wisdom and the insight. That's really what I value about you so much, my sister. Your insight into things that you awaken things. Like again, like we just talked and all of a sudden like so many little things popped out and you didn't even realize it's just in you. You don't realize it's coming out. And all of a sudden like someone can have $1 million idea or $1 million business or $1 million revelation, or, you know, more importantly, even like a spiritual or emotional revelation from reading what you write, you know, or sharing your words.
Right.
Yeah. So I love it so much.
I love that. I love this time. It's so great. You always remind me of my dad. I just feel like, again, family. And so there's just this feeling of like, this is home. We get to talk as family. This is a family reunion. It would be a cookout if we were together. But like, this is it. A creative cookout is what we're having on the Zoom call of like, these are all the parts that make the good meal.
I'm stealing that. Thank you once again. You guys just heard it. I will give her credit. Creative cookout. That's coming up next on God Engaged. Well, that's what we're going to call it when we put it in the membership site. We're going to call, oh my gosh.
I love it.
I'm so ready. Okay. So before we stop, those of you who are old school, I know you got your pens and pencils out. You've been writing or you've been on your iPad taking notes. You should have been already. This will all be on the show notes, all of her links. But just in case, can you please tell them how to follow you, how they can connect with you, whether with your services or simply following your writing and becoming inspired by you?
Yes. So it's real simple because it's the same name everywhere, but the name is not simple. So
yes, please. Yes. I want you to tell the story behind the name real quick because we didn't even get into that. I love how you explained it on your website.
Oh, it is so crazy. So I hated my name growing up because it's Yoshika. It's Japanese and it's common in Japan, but in the US, I think I've met one other girl named Yoshika. And my father liked the name. He saw it in the newspaper and he said, oh, this is going to be a great name for you. And I don't think he thought, you know, this is going to give me trouble growing up as a kid, but I love it now that it's unique, but for sure it does sound like it is spelled the way it sounds, but it is not the easiest name to figure out. So Yo is my nickname. Most of my close friends and family call me Yo, but it's Yoshika. So it's Yoshika, the black girl with the Japanese name. And the funny story is that when I was flying into New York every week for work, when I was working with a company there for kid literature, they would send someone to come and pick me up and they would hold that sign. And when I would walk up to them, they would say, you're not Yoshika. And I said, I am. And they said, well, we were looking for someone who didn't look like you. And I said, okay. So, and they would say Japanese is what we thought for the first name. And then the last name Green, it could be Jewish. So I mess people up all the time. So Yoshika Green, Yoshika, green like the color is what I always say. But that's what I am on social media platforms. And then my website is yoshikagreen.com. So I hope that I can work with some of you and connect and find me in any of those places. I'm on all of them, even Twitter. Twitter, I'm on there for writing only.
Got it. And look, from another person who's had to deal with my names being mixed up and people and getting Jewish literature in the mail. I totally understand, but you know what? Again, I consider you family. I consider myself an honorary Green. You know, again, there's so many connections. I wish I could. You know what? They'll just have to follow the group, join the creative community. We're going to have you back. We're going to have some more cookout conversations with creatives and just really let people know what the heart is behind it. Because again, we just shared it in literally just like 45, 50 minutes. You can't unearth everything that this lady has to share with you in just that time. So please follow her. Please go to her website. Check her out. Yo, this is so much a pleasure. We're going to have to say goodbye for now. We'll just say so long to everybody. Yeah. And guys, please follow her and enjoy this. Play this back. There's so many wisdom nuggets that were dropped today.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know you found so much value in that episode, in that talk. Yoshika just dropped value bomb after value bomb on us when it came to both your communication style, your writing, and your perspective on your long-term goals and your career. It's something I know you're going to go back to time and time again to just to hear how to frame your mindset, how to frame your message, how to get back to the words you're using and how to start this writing habit. Even if you're not trying to create a book or write a post, you need to take these same concepts to heart in any creative avenue you're in. But especially for my fellow writers, I'm an author myself. I know what this is like. And Yoshika can tell you that it's possible to break out of that slump, to break out of that fear, and to write that book, write that poem, write that new thing that you need to write. And even if it's a technical thing, a nonfiction thing, if you're writing for your job or your company, even if you're in that space, it's possible for you to improve your writing and you can reach out to Yoshika anytime. I'm telling you, she's a great, great, great resource. We're going to be bringing her back to our God and Geeks community. So make sure if you're in our coaching programs that you're watching out because you're going to want to hear more from her and we're going to be bringing her back, but you got to be in one of our programs. So go ahead and check out our masterclass, godandgeeks.com/2021training, sign up for one of our master classes, and then you might be able to find out about our new program, which we'll be rolling out very, very soon if you're not already hearing about it on our other networks. with that, let me go ahead and let you go on with your day. I hope you've enjoyed this. Make sure you review and subscribe to the Guide and Gig Show, because that's how other people find out about us and how we can make sure you don't miss an episode. Keep pushing, keep striving. We're praying for you. We are believing in you. And we know that the best is yet to come for your creative career. Until next time, God bless. Take care.
Thanks for joining us here at the God and Gig Show. Please leave us a review on iTunes, like our Facebook page, or visit godandgigs.com and tell us what you thought of this show. We'll be back soon. In the meantime, go create something amazing.